This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
House Speaker Pelosi Tuesday morning announced a win for workers and Democrats, saying they reached an agreement with the Trump administration to move the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement forward. Pelosi says the agreement is indefinitely better than what was initially proposed by the administration. Representative Richard Neal, a Democrat who helped lead the effort, says Democrats support the new agreement because they crafted the details of the improved trade pact. President Trump says the agreement is good for everybody, farmers, manufacturers, energy, and unions, adding USMCA has tremendous support. The Trump administration now must send implementing legislation to the House. Neal told reporters a vote in the House isn't likely this week, but adds we're close, saying he's hopeful for a vote possibly next. Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue says the agreement improves virtually every component of its predecessor, the North American Free Trade Agreement. Perdue adds the House and Senate need to work diligently to pass the USMCA by Christmas. The monthly World Agriculture Supply and Demand Report offered little to excite or scare markets yesterday. As the market and trade experts expected, there was little change in the monthly figures by the Department of Agriculture, with no change to corn and soybean production expectations or yields. The trade experts say it's likely significant updates will wait until the January 2020 WASDE report. The projected season average farm price for corn was unchanged at $3.85 a bushel. Meanwhile, total U.S. oilseed production for 2019-2020 is forecasted at 107.6 million tons, slightly down due to a decrease for cottonseed. Soybean supply and use projections for this year are unchanged from last month. The U.S. season average soybean price for 19-20 is forecasted at $8.85 a bushel, down 15 cent. The soybean outlook for 2019-2020 wheat, however, is decreased supply, higher exports, and lower ending stock. Wheat imports are lowered 15 million bushels to 105 million on a slower than expected pace to date, and the season average farm price for wheat was lowered a nickel to $4.55 a bushel. It's shaping up to be a big week this week for the dairy industry, with progress on trade, labor, and a looming deadline for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. Michael Clemens has this report.
House Democrats announced an agreement to move forward on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement Tuesday, which the National Milk Producers Federation says makes important changes to Canada's trade-distorting policies and strengthens trading relationships. NMPF spokesperson Chris Galen says dairy farmers are hopeful Congress can quickly pass the agreement.
Well, it's big news that it looks like there's a breakthrough in negotiations over the U.S.-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement. For the past couple months, there's been discussions between the Trump administration and Democrats in Congress, not on any of the agriculture provisions, but basically on the labor enforcement mechanisms in the bill. And it looks like those things have been resolved. Obviously, a lot could happen here to further delay the process, but hopefully both parties view this as a win-win. Certainly, it's a victory for America's dairy farmers and for all of American agriculture.
Meanwhile, action continues this week on the Farm Workforce Modernization Act, introduced in the House of Representatives this fall and supported by NMPF.
It achieves important policy objectives for a lot of ag employers, especially dairy farmers, in that it would create a new way to attract and keep foreign workers. It would make dairy farmers eligible for the H-2A visa program, and it would provide a path for legalization for existing workers. And those have been two of our important policy objectives, and we've been working with leaders in both parties in the House to shape this legislation. It's by no means perfect, and it will continue to evolve as we go from here, but it's very important that the House of Representatives act on this so that we have an opportunity to further refine the bill and get something done in the Senate in 2020.
And this Friday, December 13th, is the deadline for dairy farmers to enroll or change coverage in the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. Approximately 23,000 farmers are using the program in 2019, and roughly half of those have yet to sign up for the program in the following 4 years.
So our message to them is certainly consider your coverage options, and if nothing else, make certain that you have some risk management tools in place, whether it's the DMC or other things that are offered, because even though milk prices, thankfully, actually have rebounded here as we wind up 2019. We just don't know what's going to happen with either milk prices or feed costs next year. That's why the USDA was recommending that farmers sign up for the DMC for the full lifespan of the Farm Bill. We know that a lot of them, however, have not signed up for the full 5 years, and we're certainly urging farmers before this Friday to think about their decisions and the consequences of those, just to make certain that they have some form of safety net under them after 2019.
Galen says the Dairy Margin Coverage Program has proven to be a successful program for dairy farmers.
Those farmers who signed up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program here in 2019 are splitting more than $300 million this year. That amounts to an average of about $13,000 in net benefits for those farms that are using it. And again, I would just remind folks that if you don't have any plans to use the DMC program after this year, please keep an eye on markets, because you're not going to get another opportunity to sign up for the program in 2020, and you ought to have some form of risk management program in place, even if it's through the private sector and not USDA, because we know that markets are volatile and a lot could happen between now and the end of next year.
That's NMPF spokesperson Chris Galen. Learn more online at nmpf.org. Michael Clements reporting.
Moving on into other similar livestock news, given the extreme weather this year, producers and users of silage should carefully watch for molds and mycotoxins. In a company news release, Alltech says extreme weather conditions and moisture levels can reduce yields and induce plant stress, and they can also lead to future issues for the crop, including mycotoxin and mold. Mycotoxins are a concern for livestock producers as they influence feed quality and animal safety. Samples of the 2019 corn silage from across the United States submitted to Alltech, Mycotoxins Analytical Services Laboratory, include high levels for mycotoxin. The samples have included an average of 7 mycotoxins with a range of 2 to 14 mycotoxins per sample. Dr. Max Hawkins, nutritionist with the Alltech Mycotoxin Management Team, says these levels of mycotoxins found in the 2019 crop are significantly higher than the average values. He recommends livestock producers across the U.S. should test their own corn silage to identify the levels of individual mycotoxins and the subsequent risk present to livestock health and performance. Moving on into Illinois State Ag News, no injuries were reported in a fire that took place at the ADM facility in Decatur on Monday morning. Spokeswoman Jackie Anderson confirmed the fire occurred in the solvent extraction facility of the company's processing plant on Ferries Parkway. The facility was evacuated as a precaution and no injuries were reported. Deere & Company plans to lay off nearly 60 more workers at its Davenport Works facility. The company said Monday that it notified workers on the 2nd, and it said the cuts would begin effective January 6th. Deere announced earlier this fall that it was laying off more than 110 workers from the plant. Deere spokesman Ken Golden says the cuts were a result of reduced building activity that is expected to lower sales of equipment. He says each Deere factory must balance its workforce numbers with customer demand from products from that factory. The Moline, Illinois-based company makes equipment for construction, agriculture, and landscaping. And in our final state ag story for today, what are the chances for a white Christmas in Illinois? Limited, says freeze notice weather meteorologist Dan Hicks.
You know, it looks like that period leading up toward Christmas, with that warmer conditions returning, it's likely that snow cover in quite a bit of the Midwest, if there's any around, you know, during that warm-up for the 11 to 15-day period, would probably melt. So I would say right now, and don't hold me to this, but with that warmer period coming up, the likelihood of a white Christmas over a large part of Illinois may be fairly small unless things change dramatically right now. You know, climatologically, the far northern part of the state sees a white Christmas about 50 or 60% of the years, a white Christmas being 1 inch or more. As you move farther south, of course, the odds of a white Christmas quite a bit less. Right now, I'd say probably limited chances of a white Christmas, but, you know, this is the Midwest and it's December, so you really can't be too confident that far out in the future.
The first day of winter is Saturday, December 21st. Moving on quickly here to the bulletin board, don't forget that the Hillsborough and Highland FFA chapters are continuing to do their toy drives. Those toy drives are now through Friday. Also Friday, the Christian County Youth Leadership Team will be holding an open house called 4-H Express on Friday evening from 4:30 until 6:30. The event will be held at the Christian County Extension Office in Taylorville. This event is open to all youth ages 5 to 18 and is free to attend. And that'll wrap up this Wednesday morning edition of the Ag Show. But remember, you can email us any ag news you may have to WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So for this Wednesday morning, December 11th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.